the Joanna Patrice Haggerty Show, where I invite the most innovative leaders, artists, and creative business owners to share their experiences, processes, practical tips, and inspirations. Today with me is Leah Ross, who is the executive director of the Birthplace of Country Music. Over the past 15 years, Ross has played an integral role in the development and growth of Bristol, establishing its identity as the birthplace of country music. From serving as a Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion volunteer during the first festival in 2001 to becoming the executive director of the festival in 2005, Ross's dynamic vision and creativity led the festival to become the region's largest annual three-day event, which now has over 40,000 attendees annually. In 2011, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion and the Birthplace of Country Music Alliance merged, and Ross was named the executive director. Today, Ross continues to help lead the Birthplace of Country Music team that oversees the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion, and Radio Bristol. Today, I brought Leah on to talk about the Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion coming up in September, where, of course, several local Western North Carolina bands will be performing. But first, Leah, thank you for your presence here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's such an honor. I was telling my producer, Matt, before, not by total intention, but you happen to be the first out of Western North Carolina guest I've had on my show. So,
oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, what an honor. I've been always thinking about where I wanted to go outside of Western North Carolina, but there's so much rich talent here too. But
you the know, best. I am headed to Asheville tomorrow.
Well, look at that. We'll consider you part of one of ours then. And also the best part about it too is you have such a tie to the Western North Carolina mountains. We're not that far away and there is so much connection here. So I think it's such an honor to have you today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I kind of want to dive in. I love how your bio talks about being a volunteer at the first one. I can relate as an event producer. There were so many times my first experiences were volunteering for festivals. So tell me that process of what it was like going from a volunteer to now the executive director of several branches of this.
You know, in my previous jobs, I was very fortunate to be involved in a lot of community events. I worked for Waste Management, who was involved with a lot in the hospital system. And I've made statements numerous times before I got to have this dream job of mine. I wish there was a job that I could do this all the time. And I said, but I know there'll never be an opportunity here. But I did get that opportunity with Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion after the 2005 festival. And I've been here ever since because I love the logistics. I love music. I tell people all the time, if I had to choose between a television and a radio or music, television would come in last. So
wow.
It's a great, it's pretty nice to come to work to every day knowing that you're going to be at least involved with music somehow.
I love that so much. Well, maybe let's wind the clock back. I know you obviously weren't a part of the organization and founding it, right? You were volunteering, but where do the roots of the Rhythm and Roots Reunion Music Festival really come from?
Well, you know, the Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion celebrates the 1927 Bristol Sessions. And that was when Ralph Peer from New York came to Bristol to record the music of the mountains. Back then they called it hillbilly music. What's so important about it, it was the first commercial recordings of Jimmy Rogers, who is now known as the father of country music, wow, and of the Carter family, who is the first family of country music. So over the years, I think our region, I don't know that they were so proud of it, but when we started embracing our heritage as, you know, getting country music started and started celebrating it, we really saw a difference in our community and how they accepted. So this year, it being the 95th anniversary of the Bristol Sessions, one of the things that we're doing with our Rhythm and Roots Reunion is sort of celebrating that 95th anniversary.
95 years. It's amazing to think about the history of music in that way and what has transpired over almost a century, right? That's so empowering.
Yeah, in 5 years, it'll be a 100-year anniversary, which is hard.
Well, I know that's going to be a big blowout event, but I know we want to focus on the 95th, which is still so valuable. So tell me about what people can expect with this festival, how it's different. What do you guys do?
You know, let me say the birthplace of country music really has three arms to it. If you've never heard Bristol, we have the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, which really talks about those Bristol sessions. But then when we started the festival, it was to celebrate those sessions. So this year we'll celebrate our 21st anniversary of the Bristol Rhythm and Roots. And then we also have a radio station now called WBCM Radio Bristol that we're playing many different genres. All, you know, there's so many genres that came out of that. But when you think about the festival this year and our 21st anniversary, it's pretty exciting to know that we've grown as much as we have. We estimated that first when we might have had 7,500 people in attendance, and now we have over 40,000.
Wow.
The thing that we're known for a lot, though, is having artists that people have never heard of, and they'll start following them, and then 2 years later, we can't afford them. You know, you think about Sturgill Simpson. He was here when nobody knew who he was. You look at the Warren Treaty, who's out there now. So we're kind of known for that. But this year, we've got a pretty exciting lineup, and you can see the diversity just through our headliners, because we've got Roseanne Cash coming. And one of the things that we're excited about Roseanne being here this year, during the festival at our museum, we're going to have an exhibit there. It's on Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues recording, so it's pretty exciting.
Wow.
This year we finally landed her, because we've tried for several years. We've got Tanya Tucker coming. You know, she's celebrating the 5th anniversary of Delta Dawn. Who doesn't know Delta Dawn? We've got JJ Gray and Mofro. So when you look at those three artists, they're pretty far apart in all that they do. We've got the Dale McCurry Band. What a bluegrass legend. We've got the Wood Brothers coming. We've got Jerry Douglas coming. An artist that I'm pretty excited about that wouldn't fit in any of their genres is the Fantastic Negrito out of. Do you like him?
I love him. I was able to see him at Floyd Fest, and I've really been a big fan.
I've never seen him except on YouTube, but somebody called me the other day and said, "Leah, I wish you all could get the Fantastic Negrito." And I said, "Well, I'm here to tell you that we've got that wish for you. He'll be here this year." And I talked to the Virginia Tech football coaches. We're in here for training the other day, and they couldn't believe the lineup that we have. We'll have over 120 artists on 17 stages those 3 days, September the 9th, 10th, and the 11th. So it's a pretty exciting time for us. It's getting really hectic in this office. you can imagine when you're closing down a whole downtown for a festival, there's a lot of logistics and things that have to happen. It is one, in my opinion, one of the most affordable ones around. Our ticket prices right now for the entire weekend is $115. I mean, to see 120 acts.
Right, we're talking a dollar a band, right?
Yeah, that's about what you're talking. You're talking about a dollar a band, that's for sure. Hey, I should break it down that. But children 12 and under are admitted free. We also have a free Children's Day on that Saturday morning. In Anderson Park, we have a lot of nonprofits to do games and set up, and it's just a lot of fun.
And I have to shout out the fact that, again, you know, being in such a rich area of music ourselves here in Asheville in Western North Carolina, I mean, on this lineup, I can see dozens, it almost feels like. I was mentioning to you before we got on air that, you know, the old band I was in, Fireside Collective, will be performing, and they're local. And we've got Caitlin Crisco in the broadcast, the Get Right Band, Abby Bryan, the Echoes, and of course, our good old friend Andrew Scotchy and the River Rats. It's just always really amazing to watch really creative towns be able to support each other and have those kind of thoroughfares, right? We get to introduce our music to your town. We get to bring your artists and creative juices back here to inspire us. And it's just a really beautiful synergy.
You know, I don't know if we're sister cities, but I do think we do a lot of things that celebrate both sides of the state line. And you were talking about Andrew Scotchy. My cousin that comes from, Charlotte, North Carolina.
One of those towns.
And every year if he's on the lineup, that's on their schedule to go see Andrew Scott's youth. But yeah, we have a lot of artists from North Carolina.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in North Carolina, we are rich with creativity and arts too. And so we're really lucky to have that. Well, I would love to maybe just pivot over a little. We can always come back to the festival, but okay. I want to leave a little bit of time to talk about, you know, A, this 95th anniversary and how that's playing into the other parts of the museum and the radio that you're doing. And just tell me a little bit more about how this year is going to really be celebrated through all of the channels.
You know, our museum is developing programming all through the year. We have a Farm and Funtime show coming up at the Paramount, and we will be celebrating it. It's in July, and, you know, the Stoneman family, Pop Stoneman, played a major role because he was good friends with Ralph Peer of bringing people here to record. And his daughter, Ronnie Stoneman's going to be on that show, so that's pretty exciting. But we're looking at different things. We have some a person that knew Blind Alfred Reed, his family. We're going to have a talk series. You know, I would say for anyone listening to this, you really need to go to the birthplaceofcountrymusic.org and go to our events page, and you can see all the things that's happening. We're getting ready to start our community jams back up in the museum on the second and fourth Saturday. One of them is a bluegrass jam. And you just have to bring your instruments and take a part of it. And we have people come listen. We have people come play. So it's all of those things, I think, that the museum does to really promote the rich musical heritage, but always tie it back to the 1927 Bristol Sessions. And if you haven't been to Bristol in a long time, you won't believe it. Every night of the week, our streets are lined with people. There's not a night that someone downtown isn't having music. So it really has become a happening place where we really celebrate music.
And it's amazing, you know, as an economic development specialist myself, as someone who really believes that the arts heal, connect, and galvanize, you're speaking directly to that, right? That this concept of, oh, well, maybe we don't want to be super proud of our music because of how it was seen in the past, being able to turn that idea on its head and say, wait, this is our history and our heritage, and it's beautiful. And to watch the evolution, right? Again, Fireside Collective, a lot of these new modern bands have these feels and these ties to this old history and old music, but are still bringing something new. So I love hearing that Bristol has had this tie of music for so long, but watching it evolve into this really creative and modern perspective.
And you know, Joanna, I think that people need to realize the arts, especially music, whether it's old time or it's rock and roll, but when you have music, that's economic development, because people are coming to listen to it. They're coming to eat in your community. They're coming to drink in your community. They're coming to shop in your community.
Spend the night. Yeah.
You know, it is economic development at its best. I mean, we have two boutique hotels in our downtown right now, and they will tell you the main reason they located in our downtown is because of the Birthplace of Country Music Museum and Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion.
Wow. I mean, that's just so empowering and such a charge for why we should interject arts into everything, quite frankly. That's my belief. Well, tell me a little bit more about the radio and how that got started and how that is furthering the mission of everything you all
do. It's pretty exciting. So when we started building the museum and the people that originally designed it, we were going to have a radio station that would just look like a radio station. It had wax people in it, you know, like that. And we said, we cannot have wax people. So from there, we applied for a low-power FM station because that's all that was available. Mm-hmm. And we started it. Chris Trulson is our producer on there. We have guests. And you'll hear, you know, you might hear a really old time music 1 minute if you listen to our radio live, and then you might hear a rock and roll band. But there's all we do 24 hours a day programming. You can stream it on the internet. On Friday at noon every day, we do a Farm and Funtime show. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Cody Norris show. He hosts that out of his kitchen. It's a lot of fun. He has about anywhere from 30 to 45,000 people listening to him every Friday. So, but it's just a lot of fun. Chris Trulson, who's our producer, has a show every day. Josh Littleton, another guy that works for us, he has a show. Josh is, he's more into today's music or a little more of the pop music. And Chris, who is with Bill and the Bells, if you are familiar with them, he produces our Farm and Fun Time show. And he really talks about the history and really celebrates all those different genres.
Well, I don't think that you can have any station that isn't somewhat dabbling into other genres, right? Even if we're really focused on country and the concept of country, as we've mentioned a lot through the evolution, you get all of this dynamic music. So I don't know if you're familiar, but we have Biz Radio that you're on here now. We also have our own local all Asheville music station too called Buzz Radio. And it's the same thing. You might hear, you know, a jazz piece 1 second, a hip hop number the next, and some country folk tune, you know, right after that, because that is what's happening in any town and community, right? There isn't one static sound of music, and you want to capture that. So I just love that so much.
And you know what I've found over the years working with artists, and they really want to know that history, and they may take an old timey tune and turn it into a different tune that really makes you want to tap your feet too. So I think that just being able to really look at all those different genres and how it's evolved and how people are still going back to that to get inspiration. I know that it's just amazing, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I want to kind of circle that back around a little bit more for anyone who's not gone to any of the festivals. It's indoor and outdoor stages, and it's kind of all throughout the town, right? Explain a little bit more how that goes down.
We completely closed down our downtown.
Wow.
From the Volunteer Parkway to the train station. And we do have indoor and outdoor. You know, we're always glad to be able to showcase the Paramount Theater, the Cameo Theater, who just recently remodeled and back open, which is awesome. So we have indoor and outdoor. So if you on a Saturday afternoon, if you're pretty warm, you can go get out of the heat and get into a clean and fun air conditioned place. We'll have music and Borderline Billiards, which is a billiard place, but it all works out. And our, I've got to say, our downtown businesses, when we first started, it was they would close up their stores because they thought nobody had come. And now we hear from our downtown businesses, especially our restaurants, that the festival helps them get through the slow winter months when people aren't getting out as much.
You know, Leah, again, we are just the same flare of that economic impact. I've watched the same thing happen in Lexington Avenue, one of our main street thoroughfares. Mm-hmm. We had a festival on that road for years and years, and it was the same. At first, I think there was this uncomfortability of what does it mean? And there's no, people can't park in the four spots in front of my space. But when they can really feel a part of the connection too, right? I mean, you could come in, shut the streets down and not invite people into those restaurants or stores or businesses, but that's clearly not what you're doing here. You want to do this to bring people here to learn about the town, not only its history, but its current iteration.
You know, and our festival is family friendly, but at the same time, we do have beverage gardens that people can, you know, quite a few through our downtown, especially at our main stages. So there's something here for everyone, I think.
I love that. And I just got to say, you know, even if you are a parent, sometimes you can have a healthy beverage and enjoy the kids area with your kids too. That's a lovely one-two punch. I hate that we have to wrap up today, but I would love to give you a little bit of time to let people know again, where are the click links? How do they learn about the lineup? Where do they go to buy the tickets?
Well, tickets are on sale now. They can go to bristolrhythm.com and just click on that page and you'll find the tickets. We do have a program, and I'm not sure when it ends, that you can do payments on a ticket, but you can get them. Our single day tickets should be going on sale in the next few weeks. So if you think you can't come here for the whole weekend, just look at the day you want to come see the most people that's on the lineup.
That's a great idea. And truly, congrats on the 21st year of the festival and the 95th anniversary of the 1927 Bristol Sessions. Like, what an amazing history that you guys are really continuing to keep alive. It's just such an honor to have you today.
Well, it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. And as always, this is the Joanna Patrice Haggerty Show, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative leaders. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please connect by visiting bizradioasheville.com. I'd love to hear your show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.